Hello and welcome to the Utah Puck Report. I'm your host, Jay Stevens. Good things happening in Utah. We're going to get to Utah women's hockey and the University of Utah in specific, but I want to first just pay a quick tribute. We lost one of my good friends and long-time hockey players and an original member of the firefighter team, the Hoses team. Phil Lords died on Sunday on the ice while playing hockey, and it's really shaken my part of the hockey community, and I just want to pay tribute to him and just tell you that he was an amazing professional. He served his community for 36 years as a firefighter and as an EMT, and he was always one that was just constantly teaching and constantly trying to learn and always trying to make his community better, and he'll be deeply missed. And sorry for that kind of sad intro to, but what you're doing today, today is Wednesday, February 7th, and it is National Women's in Sports Day. And so I thought it'd be awesome to get the University of Utah hockey representative out here. Rodney Stett, the head coach of the women's hockey team. Rodney, thanks for being on the team.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So let's get to know a little bit about you. Where are you originally from?
So I'm originally from right outside of the Twin Cities in Minnesota, a little smaller town called Cottage Grove, pretty much right between the Twin Cities and, you know, Wisconsin. It's where I grew up. You can definitely say I had the Minnesota, you know, hockey upbringing, rink in the backyard, everything like that. So,
nice. Yeah. Nice. That's one thing that I've always wanted and I'm always going to be jealous about is just being able to go outside and skate.
Yeah, yeah. That's where my mom always tells the story. I taught myself how to skate in the backyard. She was trying to help me, and I, you know, started getting mad with her. I told her to leave me alone and go inside, and she says she went inside and cried and just watched me fall over and over and over again until I figured it out by myself. And, you know, I think it kind of shows with my crappy stride out on the ice now, but...
Well, yeah, sometimes we're a victim of our own stubbornness, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so you grew up playing, you played Minnesota high school hockey?
Yep, so right around the mites age, I switched to goalie, actually. I think my parents still kind of deep down don't like me for that because of the bank account that happened. But yeah, I switched to goalie. I played all the way through high school. And after high school, due to my coach kind of ruining hockey for me and everything like that, I hung him up. Probably took 3 months off, realized that I missed hockey a lot, went back, just started playing men's league with all my friends and all, you know, my family and everything like that, re-fell in love with the game and haven't really looked back. It's my passion.
That's one of the things we've talked about here, and we just talked about him before we went on the air, but Jordan Parisi, who's been one of our guest hosts and guests on the show a few times, we talked about him quite a bit, and his dad trying to teach coaches and kids, don't ruin the passion for your kids. Don't, like, whether you're the coach or whether you're the parent, overcoaching or just being a tyrant when it comes to raising your kids can ruin the passion for the game. And you want the passion's what's going to make them better. And regardless of making them better, regardless of anything, you want them to be able to enjoy the game. Like, the passion part, that's what it should all be about. It's not about raising your kids to get a college scholarship or playing the NHL or the Women's Professional Hockey League now, which is an awesome, we're going to talk about that too, but it's about keeping that passion. So to hear that somebody ruined it for you,
yeah,
and now you're coaching,
yeah,
you play that into your coaching?
Yeah, it goes back to when I first took the job as an assistant coach my first year 3 years ago. My best friend was the head coach, Braden Yeo. And her and I sat down and we talked about it and we were like, let's make sure that no matter what, no girl shows up to the rink and like regrets showing up. She doesn't like make sure that she wants to show up to the rink every day. And, you know, we've kind of carried that over. She, you know, left me this last summer to go finish her college degree and she's living out in Madison now. But, you know, we still try to make it fun every single day. Like, I want players to be excited to show up to the rink. I want them to have fun on the ice. You know, we push them hard every day, but we're going to have fun the whole time we do it, whether that's them making fun of me or me making fun of them and vice versa.
Right. And that's one of the things is when I was coaching, I just wanted the kids to have fun. And some parents really disagreed with my philosophy, but I was pretty successful in one, keeping kids playing the game, getting kids back into the game, And then we had successful seasons too, and we created really good teams.
Mm-hmm.
We maybe weren't the best skill-wise, but the kids were bought in, they were having fun together, and man, this game's so much, like, you can play such better hockey if you're having fun while you're doing it.
Oh, yeah, and like I said, I quit pretty much because I lost my passion because of a coach that ruined it for me, and when I got back, I was like, I'm just going to do this for fun, and it like I felt like I became a better hockey player out of it, you know, and we really push having fun and having a good culture on our team, and we'll have recruits out and they're weirded out at first because there aren't cliques on our hockey team. We have one clique. It's the entire team.
Nice.
And girls are like, I've never seen a team be so tightly bonded like yours before. This is totally something new and different, and I want to be a part of it.
Very cool. Very cool. So you finish up, you pick up the pads again, you strap on the pads again, and now you're like, you're still in Minnesota playing men's league, but there's a couple pretty competitive men's leagues there. Were you in the, like almost semi-pro men's leagues, or were you playing in those?
I mean, I was playing in the, I think it was called the AHA at the time, and I was playing at like the B2 level, and the A level is all going to be ex-NCAA guys, pro guys, stuff like that. And I have a buddy who plays in the summer league at the A level, and they're talking about bringing in Jake Ottinger as their goalie this next summer. And I'm like, you're kidding me, right? Like,
isn't he up for the Vezina right now?
Yeah, and like there's you know, it's just a bunch of guys that on his team that are all Gophers and, you know, playing in the NHL, and he's playing with like Riley Tufte and stuff like that.
Man.
Yeah. And it's very interesting because we did a summer league, me, my brother, my buddy, and like a bunch of our family. And we go up to this game and playing at Blaine, it's not regulated or anything. And we play this team and they're all players that are coming back from NHL pro camps for the summer. And we were just a bunch of guys that just were there to drink beer and have fun. And we were like, what is this? So the next week, one of the guys goes, can I bring my little brother with? We had no idea who this kid was. Shows up. He's got all St. Cloud State gear. Goes out there, lights it up like crazy. We look him up after. It was Blake Lizotte was playing with us for the summer. And now he's playing for the Kings and being a difference maker for them, which is weird.
Unreal. Those are crazy opportunities. I have kind of a similar story. Like, I was just with Jordan Parisi and we were doing some stuff. My son was in a camp at Shattuck St. Mary's, and we went out to play, and they were like, hey, we just need to, will you hop in the pipes and take some shots? We're just gonna have some guys that are just trying to get a workout in for the day. And I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. And I knew Zach Parisi was going to be there, and I knew that was going to be intense, and I knew that he was going to light me up. And he'd brought one of his friends, Chris Porter, who ended up playing like 12 years in the NHL also. But then they brought out these other kids that I'd never heard of, and this one kid was absolutely destroying me. And I'm like, who are these, this freaking high school kid? Like, I expected to get lit up by Zach Parisi.
Yeah.
But who's this high school kid? Oh, it's Nathan MacKinnon. And it's like, oh, okay. Nobody had ever heard of him.
Yeah.
Like, he was just in high school at the time. And man, it's just amazing the difference that there is in those rinks there.
Yeah.
Like, as far as players go. All right, so back to your story. How do you end up in Utah?
Yeah, so 4 years ago now, technically, my best friend, Braden Yeo, got the head coaching job. She reached out to me and said, hey, I got this coaching job. I think you would be great. Come on, fly out, go on a visit. I pretty much laughed her off right away. And then COVID hit, and there was nothing going on. So I said, why not? Come on a visit, see if I like Utah. I flew out here, and within 15 minutes, I was like, all right, I'm picking up my life and moving out here. Went home, pretty much quit my job, told my parents I'm moving to Utah, and within a couple months I picked up my entire life, moved out here, and we haven't looked back.
What was it about Utah that you fell in love with so quick?
It was just like the mountains and everything. I love Minnesota and everything like that, but I feel like you're just kind of stuck in the mud there. All my friends are always doing the same things whenever I go back. And I just wanted to be different. My parents say, you know, when I was first born, they knew I was just going to leave right away. So they weren't surprised at all. They helped me move out here, and they got me out here, and they were like, you're never coming back, are you? And I said, unless it's a wedding, probably not. So I rarely go back home. I go home for Christmas pretty much, and if there's a big wedding, I'll go back to Minnesota, and nice. That's about it.
All right, so weren't you initially the goalie coach? Or were you like a goalie assistant? Or
yeah, that first year it was kind of, you know, in the gray. I was a goalie coach and defensive coach at the time, and – you know, then after that, Braden was like, why don't you just become my full-on assistant? So I went from goalie coach slash assistant to assistant, still helping out with the goalies. And then she stepped away this past summer, and she said, I don't think anyone else deserves it better than you. And my first thing was, well, it's a women's game. Why not have a woman be the head coach? And she said, no, I think it should be your job. So I applied and went through everything and got it, which I think it's fun, but it's really stressful at the same time.
Yeah. I remember talking to George and AJ when they were trying to decide who was going to be coaching those teams. And I think the men's team was going through some coaching changes as well. And just trying to figure out, like, who's going to be the – and your name kept coming up. And I'm like, I don't even – who's this guy? I've never heard of him. So it's cool, like, now to get to know your story and where you're from. And it helps growing up in hockey. A lot of us that grew up in Utah hockey, maybe we didn't have the best coaches around us. Like, my high school coach was a phenomenal person, was a huge impact in my life, but really didn't know anything about hockey. And he just did the best he could. And I don't regret having him as a coach for 1 minute, but if it was just I needed him as a person in my life, but I didn't, like, there were a lot of other hockey choices.
Yeah.
Well, actually, there were no other hockey choices. And so he was the best person for the job, and he did an amazing job, but he didn't have any hockey knowledge. And so he was just doing the best he could. And that's a huge difference, right? You still need to go in. You still need to have that. That's the part a lot of people forget about, right, is that you're not just a coach. I was just listening to somebody talk about this a minute ago. Like, you shouldn't call them coaches because they're managers. Because especially at your level, you're doing so many different jobs.
Oh, yeah.
So you're managing the team. You're managing the players. Then you go out and you coach on the ice. But then you got to manage, like, you got to create all this stuff. And then you got to have an impact on all their lives.
Yeah.
A positive impact. You got to try to help them. And now you've got, you know, grades, and you've got all this other stuff you've got to manage. You really should be called a manager.
Yeah. I mean, my roommate was asking me last weekend, what do you do before a game? And I'm like, everything. Yeah. You know, I'm doing everything to prepare myself for the game, to prepare the team, to help the other team maybe if they're in town, you know, everything. Like, you're planning out everything, which is pretty insane. But, like, I do have to say thanks to AJ and Amy, our GMs. Like, they really try to make it where our job is to coach hockey, and that's it. We don't normally have to worry about the travel or planning food or anything like that. It's all planned for us. We get an itinerary if we're on the road, and we're set to go.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And AJ's always been very, very studious and very organized when it comes to all that stuff. So that's good.
Oh, yeah.
We definitely didn't have that when I was playing in the ACHA. We were just doing the best we could. So tell us more about, like, the women's hockey program at the U. How many years has it been around, and where do you recruit from?
Yeah, so this is technically our fourth year in existence. 3 years with me. The first year was the year before COVID. COVID stopped everything. We came in after COVID, and we're kind of just growing every single year. Interest is getting bigger and bigger every single year. It's crazy to see how quickly you can build something if you're hopefully doing it in the right way, right? But we have plenty of girls from all over the nation. I think program-wide, we have 48 out of the 50 states covered. We have a girl from Minnesota on the team, a couple girls out of California, Arizona, Wyoming, Montana. We got a girl from Australia on the team. So it is kind of, you know, skewed all over. And our view is, we don't care where we recruit from, as long as you're a great hockey player and even better person off the ice.
Yeah, I'm looking at your roster right now. You're right. California, Arizona, Minnesota, Texas. But it's good. You got a lot of Utah players on there, too. A lot
yep.
of Utah-born players.
Yeah, in the past, we've had a lot of Utah players, and I expect next year to even add even more. You know, women's hockey in Utah is fastly growing. And there's a lot of players that I'd like to keep in state instead of losing them to NCAA teams.
Yeah. I know the men's team's trying to go NCAA. It only makes sense that the women's team's trying as well. And do you guys talk about that?
We've been talking about it a little bit. I always refer to it as, like, it's like the Office meme where they're all doing the finger guns at each other right now in the West on who's going to go NCAA first after ASU went. And the big talk is it's going to be UNLV or University of Arizona next. And I think once we get a couple more men's programs out here, then the women's teams will start going. Everything I've heard from the university right now is if we're going to go NCAA, they want both the men's and women's at the same time.
Yeah, and that, I mean, it almost has to be these days, right?
Yeah.
Does Arizona State have a women's team?
They have a ACHA women's team.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I've been doing a ton of research into the programs that are trying to get in there too, and it seems like Cal's right there, UCLA, all these other teams are really trying. What other of these programs have women's teams right now? Like, who's in your conference?
Yeah, so our conference is the WWCHL, so that's the Western Women's Collegiate Hockey League. As of right now, it's us, Denver, Colorado State, Colorado Boulder, ASU, and then GCU also down in Arizona. Next year, we should have Montana State joining, and also University of Arizona is forming a team right now to start next year.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Do you think that hurts your recruiting since you're taking players out of there?
Kind of a little bit. I mean, we've kind of moved more east with our recruiting this past year. With me being from Minnesota, I'm pretty biased that I want Minnesotans on my team.
Oh.
So we've got a lot of interest out of Minnesota recently, so we're really trying to lock down a lot of those players. But like, you know, I'll talk to a girl that I already have committed and she's like, well, University of Arizona was trying to get me too. And I was like, why? Yeah, come on.
There's no real mountains there.
Like, yeah. Yeah. And I always tell them, well, it's only desert and trash down there. Don't go down there. You know, like it's ugly down there. So, but they, you know, ASU and University of Arizona do take a lot of our recruits.
Wow. And Braden's helping you recruit. Where is she at now?
So she's in Madison right now.
Okay. And yep. So she's trying to get you some Wisconsin girls?
Yep, yep. So whenever she's got free time, she's bouncing around rink to rink looking for players for us, which really helps because being out here, it's hard to get out there, right, and actually see some players live. I like to see my players live and recruits live before I get them committed. You know, you can only see so much video, but I find when you actually see them live, it's more – it's better than seeing them on video because you never really know what.
Yeah, because anybody can send you highlights and, you know, show their best. It's like, you know, yeah. I'm self-confessing here. This is how good I am. And they leave out all the
bad stuff.
Habits or whatever. So like, what tournaments are you able to recruit at?
Yeah,
you go to triple. Are there women's AAA tournaments or is it AA or what?
So we go to a big one we've been going to the past couple of years is the Jog Showcase out of Chicago, and that's specifically for ACHA teams to go to recruit at. It's growing this year. There's going to be one in Chicago, Michigan. I think there's one in Vegas and another one in California, if I'm correct.
Oh wow!
And they're blowing it up. They want a lot of kids now are looking to go ACHA over NCAA. So we've been recruiting at those a lot in the past couple of years. And then every year when I go home for Christmas, I normally go for like a week and a half. In Minnesota high school, we'll do weekend or holiday tournaments. And you can pretty much go to whatever rink, and there's games going on all day.
Oh, that's amazing. And, you know, you said something that I think a lot of people are going to not believe. You said that players are looking – that someone would prefer to go to NCAA or go ACHA over NCAA – and I mean, more and more, that's really true. And it comes down to these schools, a lot of these schools, NCAA Division III or whatever, and you've never heard of these schools, but they have a program, and then you're like, oh, I get to go play hockey there. They gave me 1/5 scholarship or no scholarship, and it's 70 grand a year to go there. Yep. Or I could go to the U for 14 grand and,
yeah,
you know, and play ACHA. Like the women's Division I is probably pretty competitive with some of the NCAA teams.
Yeah. I mean, Liberty is, they'll play NCAA teams every year and they normally blow them out of the water, like 11-0. So a lot of players now are going, well, why? We always tell them, why go to a school in the middle of a cornfield that no one's ever heard about and it's $70,000 a year when you could come to Utah and play all the big schools everyone's heard about? And then your tuition also drops to $9,000 after the first year.
Yeah.
And you're getting a top 10 education in the United States, the number one ranked public university in the West. And players go, that does sound pretty nice.
Yeah,
you know,
they're thinking
more about life after hockey and not just hockey at the moment. You know, and they're thinking, I need to find the school that's going to fit me the best.
Yeah, that really makes sense. And as a parent that went through this with a soccer player, and I was looking at some of these programs, and I'm like, man, You're telling me, like, we did some of the campus visits, and Pepperdine was like $85,000 a year.
Yeah.
And they offered my son like a 1/3 scholarship. I'm
yeah.
like, man, that's, you want my yearly income to pay for school? It's
exactly.
unreal. Okay, so how's the team doing this year, this season?
Yeah, I think we're doing a lot better than we expected. With the changeover from head coaches, like, there's always going to be a little bit of a step back. I think that's pretty normal now. And the team is doing a lot better than we truly expected. We came in, we had 21 players rostered this year. We offered 29 and we lost players to, you name it, it happened in the off season. We had girls that were told by doctors, one more bump on the head, you're a vegetable. We had girls' families have crazy medical emergencies that they decided to stay home, not attend school anymore. Like, you name it, it happened to us. Every week we were losing a player. So we started with 21 this year. We went to 22. About 2 weeks into the season, someone reached out and said, hey, I'm at the U. Can I come be a practice player? She came out. We were like, do you want to be on the team? And she said, yeah, and she's one of our best defensemen now. You know, we're playing in the W. We're hopefully making the conference playoffs this coming month. This big weekend we got up is Denver. We got to beat them. We need to sweep them. Girls know that. We know that we need to go do that this weekend. We'll most likely come into the conference playoffs as a third seed, but, you know, we're exceeding expectations every week.
Have you guys played Denver already this season?
No, we haven't played them this year, but we know they're deeper than they have been in the past.
So what the heck happened last week with Colorado? Like, I was just like looking at the stuff that is getting posted online, and I'm like, this doesn't add up. Like, this was a big game.
Yeah.
And okay, so the ACHA ends in ties?
So it all goes down to your conference then after that. So going into our conference, it's after overtime, which is 3-on-3 in 5 minutes, it's a tie. And shootout is truly if you just want a winner or a loser, but it's not going towards rankings. It's not going towards anything. And my understanding was, as the home coach, and if we can hold the ice for longer, we can do a shootout. So I got my three players ready to go. We were ready, you know, let's do this. Let's end this. We were going to win. Their whole team got on the ice, congratulated their goalie, and just started getting off the ice. The refs were running around. We don't know what to do. I look across the ice. AJ's on the phone with the commissioner asking what the rule is. And I'm telling my team, don't leave the bench, because I don't know what the rule is now anymore, because they're just doing whatever they want. And so we looked it up after the 3-on-3 overtime, like, it's just a tie. But in my eyes, let's have a winner or a loser. You know, I don't care if it's just for the crowd. Let's do it.
You guys had a decent crowd, right?
Yeah, we had a youth night that night. So we had a bunch of the youth teams out from Ogden, Idaho, Vegas, and I think a Colorado team came out too. It was a bunch of like 10 U girls that were all there. That was super exciting. I know a lot of students were there, and it got loud when Boulder decided to get off the ice. Like, there was a lot of boos.
Did you get a chance to talk to the Boulder coach before all this? Or, like, okay, it's overtime. Hey, we're going to shootout. Did you get a chance to talk to him?
From my understanding, was it's just kind of a gentleman's agreement. Like, okay, Let's go. But he just got on the ice and said, we want to go home. And I said, what's 5 more minutes? And that was kind of the end of it.
All those girls in the stands that are wanting to see this finish, like, this was a huge opportunity just to seal the deal, right? Like, just to make it that much more entertaining.
Yeah.
And to really send these girls home with a cool memory.
Yeah.
Instead, with that decision, you send them home with just a little bit of a bitter taste. Like, it's a frustrating memory.
Yeah. And it hurts even more because that morning, you know, a bunch of our team went to watch those girls play in the morning, did a meet and greet after. You know, all these girls were cheering us on. And then they, you know, CU Boulder decides to do that. And it is kind of sad because, you know, we're finally showing girls in the West that there is college hockey and, you know, there is another level to this. And this is why you work hard. This is why you have fun with it. And then it ends like that.
So speaking of another level, now there's pro hockey for women.
Yep.
Does that conversation come up where your girls are like, hey, I need to start getting game tape to Toronto? Or, you know, there's a team I want to play for. Are they looking? Are most of your girls wanting to play further, or are they wanting just to get their degree and be done?
I think a lot of my team, you know, right now, their view is I want to get my degree and probably just switch over to beer league.
Yeah.
And have fun after that. I'm sure that a couple girls on my team could definitely go play professional if they wanted to, but depending on where that is, whether that's overseas or in the PWHL, if I'm correct.
Yep.
Sorry, they've changed their name a lot recently.
Because it's not like this is the first attempt at it, but this is the best funded attempt at it.
Exactly.
And it looks like it's going to stick around.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And it's cool, but there's not a minor league part to it. So that it's not like, okay, I didn't make that team, so I'm going to – I guess you could go to Europe and try it there. But, yeah, it's just such a cool opportunity for girls to see that there's a chance after. And I'm excited to see them, like, be able to play in college. And I've played against some of the women. Well, I played against Braden, and I've played against some of the other women that are here, and they get it. They're smart. They're lighting me up, and it's like, this is cool. We're growing the game, and it's always been important to me to grow the game. I want everybody to be able to play.
Yeah.
And to have these opportunities and to see, I'm so proud of the University of Utah for, like, developing this program and being the first. They're the pioneers here. I don't know. It seems like a grand slam for Weber State to just have a team.
Yeah.
Like, on that campus, in that rink.
Yeah.
Two sheets of ice.
Apparently, the year before I came, UVU tried to make a team the same year we did, and they just kind of crashed and burned right away, and I don't know what happened there. But, you know, women's hockey is apparently the fastest-growing sport in the nation right now, and especially in the West. So there are a lot of girls that are here that want to stay here or are from California, Arizona, Montana, Wyoming, like, they want to find a school that's close to home and still play hockey. And, you know, it's quickly becoming the better route to pick.
Speaking of that, you've got a couple girls from California.
Yep.
That are also world-class roller hockey players.
Yeah. Eileen and Amel. They're a set of twins we got 2 years ago. They came into us as freshmen, and we were trying so hard to recruit them. They were going to every D1 visit, doing all that stuff, and they came to our tryout and were like, please, please, please come here, pretty much.
Oh.
They, right then and there, they're like, oh, no, we're coming here. Like, this is where we want to be. And we got them. And
why? How did you get them? Like, seriously, what was the clincher there? Because if they're going to NCAA D1 programs, what do you throw at them?
They came, they saw our culture, they saw, you know, what we can offer, and they fell in love with it right away. And I think that's kind of what sealed the deal with them, and it helps us seal the deal with a bunch of other recruits. But they're special. They're awesome to have. They're always, you know, they have great attitudes, and like you said, they're playing roller on the world level.
Yeah.
Last year, middle of the season, we sent them to Argentina to play in the U18 roller championship, and they came home with a silver medal, which is
that's awesome,
crazy.
Yeah, and you said you had another player as well that played for Australia?
Yeah, so we have Grace Jensen, who's also on the Team USA team, and then we have Cassie Haley, who plays for Team Australia.
Okay, where's Grace Jensen from?
She's from Amel and Eileen's hometown, too.
Oh, okay.
They all played youth hockey together.
So they came as a package deal? Or?
Yeah, so
nice.
Grace came just this past year to us. So she's a freshman, the other two are sophomores, but they all know each other, and Amel and Eileen were definitely putting in good words to get Grace on the team.
Very cool. That's the best way to get players, is have their friends commit and then make them do the recruiting for you.
Exactly. I tell our recruits all the time, like, talk to your friends about us. You know, you never know who wants to come out too. And this past couple of weeks, we had a recruit come out from St. Louis, and she said, I'm coming back to tryout weekend, and I'm going to bring six friends with me. And I was like, okay, sounds good.
Unreal.
Yeah.
That's perfect. And that's how it works. And that's even how it's been working in, like, at the Mite level. You'll get one kid switch teams, and then he'll bring all his friends to the other organization or whatever in Utah. That's how it goes. But this is amazing. Like, I'm just excited. I appreciate you being here. For people that haven't seen a University of Utah women's hockey game, how do they find your schedule? How do they get tickets? And how do you convince them to come right now? Like, here's your chance to talk some people into coming and checking out your program.
Yeah. You can go to our website. I believe it's universityofutahhockey.com. Pretty easy website to navigate. You click it, you find the tickets, and then you scroll down, and it will give you single game tickets. You can buy them. I think it's $10 for adults, free for anyone 10 and under, might be 12 and under. but we encourage people to come out. It's truly special what we're doing here. You know, players are very involved with it. They're always trying to sell tickets on campus, everything like that. You know, with the MUS on the campus, you know, the Mighty Utah Student Section, we can't technically use that term. So we came up with a term that I think is absolutely terrible, the SUS, which is the Skating Utah Student Section. But from my understanding is when those tickets go on sale, they'll sell out within pretty much an hour. And that's roughly 500 tickets. So, and those will get you in for, I think it's like $5 for the season. And that can be any M1, M2, or women's game.
Oh, wow. But there are days when you have all three playing in that building.
Yeah, and those are very, very hectic days when you got six teams running around and you don't know what locker room you're in yet or anything like that. So AJ makes it pretty smooth on the home teams, but on the away teams, any advantage is a great advantage, I guess, right?
Getting dressed in their bus in the yeah. lot, out in the parking lot, nice. All right, so you guys go to Denver this week.
Yep.
Do you have home games coming up?
So I believe it's February 23rd. We start our WWCHL playoffs, which will most likely be ASU, Boulder, us, and then whoever else makes it. It's going to be the top four out of the WWCHL.
Okay, that's awesome. And again, you can just get that stuff. It's right here, University of Utah Hockey. Let me make sure it's the right. Yeah, universityofutahhockey.com. Everything's right there. Super easy. There's a ticket tab right there. I'm looking at it right now. It's super easy. So
yeah, apparently
there's no excuse.
Yeah, from what I understand is there a lot of other teams use Optimex Sports, I believe it's called, and they just base their website off of ours because AJ is great at
AJ's
it.
AJ's the man, yeah.
Yeah, so he met the guy that runs it. Met AJ one weekend and was like, I want to make my website like yours and give it to all the teams.
Well, last year we streamed these games. KSL Sports picked them up and we streamed a lot of the games. And I think, I don't know what's going on this year, but I'm going to see if we can at least stream these playoff games.
Yeah, that'd be great. Cause I mean, like any, you know, we love to get out there. A lot of people don't even know we exist. And,
yeah.
You know, doing stuff like this, that helps people realize we exist and that there is women's hockey out here.
Yeah, and it's awesome. Yeah. And I got it's fun, man. I'm telling you, watching the stuff that I was watching the last couple of weeks and just seeing the elevated level of the skill of these women that you have on the team, it's fun and it's great hockey. And I when my daughter was growing up, there was nothing like this.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing. And she wanted to be a hockey player so bad. And my wife just kept saying, please, for the love, don't be a hockey player. We already have two. Don't be a goalie. So instead, she was a soccer goalie.
All right.
But, man, if there was a program here, when she would have seen it, she would have done it. And I don't know if you know Brandon Manick. His son played for the Portland Winterhawks in the WHL and then played for the Utah Grizzlies. He's got a daughter that's super competitive in hockey right now, but she's young, and she's running out of places to play.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's got to be something else here because she needs two more years. There's a bunch of girls here. They're going to be like 14, 15, and there's not going to be anything for them except for Utah high school hockey, which is not great for girls.
No.
Or boys, really, that are trying to go to the next level. And it's going to be, I don't know, I just see, like, there's just a gap that we got to fill somehow.
Yeah, and whether that's, you know, just combining all those youth teams into one organization, I don't know the answer to that. You know, I try to stay out of it. I help with the Lady Grizz a lot, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know there's the Ogden Mustangs, there's Lady Grizz,
yeah.
And then there's another team in Bountiful, if I'm correct. I don't...
Maybe. You know, I had them all on the program a few weeks ago, and we were just talking about the same thing. We're like, we got to bridge this gap, because there's a lot of girls coming up.
Yep.
And hopefully all those girls come to your games and see and take those opportunities. So if you're a parent and you're listening to this, and you have a young female that wants to keep playing hockey or wants to even get into it, come see what it's like at its top level in the state. Come check out the University of Utah women's hockey team.
Yeah. I mean, we got girls that had NCAA offers that play on our team. So it is pretty crazy how good some of these players are.
It is. And those roller hockey players, I was showing my son last night. I'm like, these girls are going to be on the show. I think we're going to have them on next week or the week after just to talk about roller hockey. And I was showing some of the videos they put in some time at roller hockey. They've got some stick handling skills.
And I know.
That usually translates. I played with guys, when I played professional roller hockey, I played with guys that were also playing professional ice hockey, but they were roller hockey players first.
Yeah.
Alex Tange is most famous with the Avalanche. He was a roller hockey guy. And then he got good enough to be a superstar in the NHL.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, those Twins' hands are crazy. I mean, Amel pulled a move today in practice that was crazy, and she just had the biggest smile on her face after, and I couldn't help but laugh because I was nice. Like, what else am I going
to
do?
I love it, man. I love it. They're having fun, and I can't wait to see the skill. Rodney, thank you so much for coming in and being on the show, and hopefully a bunch of people hear this and come out and watch your games. Good luck this weekend in Denver.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, and that is the Utah Puck Report.